Before we get into episode 150, I just wanted to mention one thing to you. Some folks have asked me how they could support the podcast. One way that you can support it, since I don't use any kind of Patreon or anything like that, is to go to icantseeyou.com/Amazon whenever you have to go and buy something at Amazon. It will take you to Amazon, but when you buy something using that link, I will get a small commission. It doesn't cost you anything more. It certainly helps us out, and I really do appreciate it. Again, that's icantseeyou.com/Amazon. Thank you so much.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 150 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj, on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this episode, and it's kind of hard to believe that it's 150 episodes so far, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm glad you're here along for the ride. I appreciate you listening. I do have a few things to talk about today, but as I always do during football season, of course, it's a fantasy football update from the All Blind Football League. I won again. It wasn't a blowout like last week, but it wasn't the nail biter from 2 weeks ago. I won by about 30 points, give or take, and I am undefeated. In first place, all by myself, I have the most points. I am undefeated. I am the only one that's undefeated, but I think I'm going to go down this week. I'm playing Frank, whose team name is a good one, Pug Posse. And I just envision all these dogs running at me. And it just sounds kind of nice. So I do look forward to that. But, you know, this week in the NFL is a horrible bye week. And I've got two of my main guys out. I have Cook and Lamb are both out, which also sounds like a menu item on at a restaurant. And I also have Kareem Hunt out, who's hurt. So probably the most likely week to go down so far. I think every week I've been favored by at least a few points. I don't know how it is this week, but I checked the Yahoo confidence meter and it's a 50-50 split. And those things really don't mean anything because I've been down where it said I had a 99% chance of losing and I ended up winning on a Monday night thanks to Kareem Hunt and Lamar Jackson. And that was last year. And, you know, and that happens. And, you know, there's, you know, fantasy football, there's just no, it's just guessing, basically. But FC Tunguska 08 is still at the top of the table in the All Blind Fantasy League. And I'm, you know, pretty excited by it. Now, we started hockey since, you know, the hockey season started. And my team, known as the White Cane Kilas, is also undefeated there. They won their game. And I really can't take any credit for that because it's basically just the team I drafted. I didn't make any changes to my lineup, you know, last week because it was Believe You Can week. And it was just so busy, as I mentioned last week. And it just got busier towards the end of the week with everything going on there between doing the emails for the folks that bought tickets and donated money and doing the hosting things and what we were going to say. And I have to admit, I was not the best in that, doing the hosting. I did make quite a few mistakes and, you know, there was just a lot of moving parts and I'll get into that in a second. So I didn't really mess with my lineup in the fantasy hockey at all because I just didn't have time. And also to be honest, I really don't know the guys as well as I used to. You know, I was mentioning to my friend Mark the other day on the phone, somebody in the league picked up, Jeff Carter. Well, Jeff Carter's old. I mean, that I knew him. You know, he came up, he and Richards came up together on the Flyers back. You know, I might have still had season tickets back then. And, you know, and I think the last year I had season tickets was 2003. So, yeah, that'll tell you how long ago that was. I mean, it doesn't seem like that long, long ago to me. But if you're younger, that seems like a long time ago. I mean, to my kids, it's, you know, basically a lifetime ago, you know, at 27 and 24. So yeah, I'm tied for first. I think I'm overall because of my points. I think I was fourth or something like that, third or fourth. It's a long season, so I'm not too concerned with that. And to be honest, I'm more concerned with the football at this point. And then once football season ends, hopefully I'll still be somewhere near the top in the hockey. So, you know, it's not a lost season because I know I got an update that one of my guys is hurt today in the hockey. So I'm going to have to go and swap him out for somebody in my lineup. But again, so happy to be having such a great year in the fantasy football. And it also is fun to think back as I play each week when, you know, when I play a different person, you know, to have met them, you know, when we did the draft, you know, in person, you know, back in September, up in Orangeburg, New York, just so great about that. And, again, playing Frank this week, Frank, good luck to you. And, I don't think you're going to need much luck this week. I think I probably am not going to win, but we'll see what happens. Stranger things have happened. And again, neither of us have really any control over what these guys do. So, a couple of things I wanted to talk about today, besides the all important fantasy football update, was Believe You Can. That took place this past Saturday. And, you know, when it first started out, you know, this was our second year doing it. When we first started selling tickets, and we like to put tickets on sale, it's usually that very end of August. Last year we did it, I think the Monday was August 31st, and this year we put them on sale September 1st. And again, it's really all dependent on me. I control the PayPal account, so I have to make the buttons for them, you know, for the tickets, and I have to do the graphics for the buttons. And, you know, so it's basically when I get it done. And, you know, I was pushing to get it done, like I said, for September 1st, which I did. They went on sale September 1st. And it just didn't seem to have the fanfare as it did last year. You know, last year we had this excitement behind it. And I don't know why it was different this year. But this year we were pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing the event because it was such a great event last year. And we did so well with it. And we were very pleased with the result. And this year we were worried because it just didn't seem like we were getting the sales. And then about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went back in and I pulled all the numbers from last year and compared them to how we were doing this year. And again, it seemed like we weren't doing great. This year, our first ticket sale wasn't until like the 26th of September. And, you know, we were concerned. Last year, we had ticket sales from early September. But when I pulled the numbers back, I want to say it was around the 10th or 11th of October. When I pulled those numbers, I saw that we actually had a couple more sales and we had a lot more money in. And it turns out this year we sold a lot more $25 watch party tickets than we did last year, which is great. And for the year total, we actually were around 22% better in funds coming in than we were last year. Now, a couple of things to keep in mind. We upped the ante as far as the prize money goes. Last year, the total payout was, what did we say, $175. This year, the total payout was $300, $150 for the winner, $100 for second, and $50 for third. So there was that increase. There was also an increase in PayPal fees. PayPal raised their fees. I don't remember if it was August or September or sometime other time over the summer. Where last year, when we sold a $10 ticket, we got $9.41. This year, when we sold a $10 ticket, we got $9.16. So, of course, that adds up, you know, as we sell all these tickets. You know, so I really do appreciate those who bought tickets. And Alex and Dan, I greatly appreciate that for you guys supporting us. With that, thank you so much. And anybody else listening, if you bought a ticket to Believe You Can, thank you. And there's a couple of episodes we actually did a kind of piggybacked on a White Canes Connect episode and played it here because I don't have White Canes Connect on the podcast directories yet. And that's my goal for this week is to get that really rolling so that as we draw closer to the NFBF Pennsylvania State Convention, you know, people can get that from any podcast app as opposed to having to go to a website and download it as an MP3 file. I just don't think that's the right thing to do. But we did have a great Believe You Can. It went well. The production went well, and we actually rolled with the changes. I was I was basically the announcer. I was the, I think I said it last week, I was the Johnny Olson of the show for the most part. I announced the people coming on at the beginning, the two hosts, which were Lisa and Stacy. I announced the president of the chapter, who gave a brief message at the beginning. And I actually flubbed that part because I said, I'm David Goldstein, the president of the Keystone chapter. Nope, the treasurer of the Keystone chapter. Because Harriet is the president, and I guess that's how I got it mixed up. If I were reading a script, I could blame that, but I wasn't reading a script, so I just messed up. And constantly messing up with the commands to raise your hand, because that's how people voted. You raised your hand. So, you know, in between, after every performer came on, if you want, for example, Simon Bonenfant, who was Keystone Chapter secretary, and he participated and did a song, and he did great. If you want Simon Bonenfant to move on, raise your hand. To do that on the phone, it's *9. To do that on a Windows machine, it's *Alt+Y. But I kept saying *Alt+9 instead of *Alt+Y. And then on a Mac, of course, it's *Command+Y. And so that threw me for a loop a couple times. And we also had couple of instances where the performers were there and ready to perform, but they weren't signed on in Zoom under their name. It was either under a husband's name or one person. It just said iPhone. So we didn't know that they were there. So we kind of had to go. We asked the performers to get there 30 minutes before their set time, their scheduled time. And so we just rolled to the next one after doing a little bit of filler. And it actually worked out great. That part was outstanding. So all of that went well, and I was happy with the way that went. But you know, like I said, I was mediocre. I think I don't know that I would have as far as announcing goes. I don't know that I would have moved on if there were a competition going on. You know, but it was a lot of fun doing it, and the voting doing it that way was a lot better than last year. You know, the biggest issue with any of it is the technology for some folks. And there were some good folks on that didn't make it to the second round of voting. Basically, you could vote as many times as you wanted in the first round when everybody performed. And then the top vote getters, the top five, and it could have been six, it could have been more if, you know, everybody got the same number of votes. Let's say seven people got 20 votes, then they would all move on. We weren't going to cut from there. Then in the final round of voting, people didn't perform again. In the final round of voting, you could only pick one. But, you know, so the voting went great. You know, the technology, like I say, tripped up some people who were really good. But, you know, their sound was a little off, or there was a little issue with their Wi-Fi, so there was some dropouts. You know, and some of that stuff you just can't help. And, you know, it's sad that that's maybe what cost folks. Now, on the flip side, I think it also helped some people. In fact, Jasmine Island was the winner. She's a 13-year-old girl from Vancouver, Washington, and I'm going to have her on next week. Her sound was just outstanding. She had a great setup. She had an actual mic that was, you know, was right for the situation. She wasn't relying on the mic of her iPhone or her iPad and stuff like that. So it worked out. She sounded great. She just has a great voice too. Once we have the final clips done, we're gonna cut it into clips. Anybody that bought a ticket can go back and watch the whole thing, but for some of them, we're gonna cut up into clips so we can use as, you know, kind of like a highlights thing, especially for next year when we're looking for performers. But I'll link to those once they're up, so you can hear how great she sounds. I mean, she was just outstanding. She played the piano and did a song called "Wake Up." By Julie and the Phantoms. And I don't know if that's a TV show. I don't know what it is, but I liked the song when we heard her during the sound check. And then I listened to it. I wanted to hear the original on, I listened on, you know, the G Lady and the A Lady. And, you know, she did a great job at it. One other performer who, you know, I know who's from within the NFB of Pennsylvania. Her name is Angelina. She did a song by Jewel that I think Angelina's version is 10 times better than Jewel's version. So it's just kind of funny. Sadly, Angelina did not place in the money. She did make it to the finals. She has just grown so much, you know, since I, you know, have been in the NFB, you know, hearing her from, you know, from the first time I was at a state convention a few years ago to now, she just sounds great. And like I said, Simon did well. And Jan Letuka, last year's winner, she came in second this year. Simon came in third. So they were the money winners who are getting checks in the mail from me as the treasurer of the NFB of or the Keystone chapter. There I go, taking somebody else's job again. And that's not a job I want, to be treasurer of the NFB of PA. Not one at all. I'm not sure I want the one as the Keystone chapter one, but I have it and I'll do the best that I can. And it's kind of funny, you know, when I was a kid, my dad wanted me to go into accounting and and his best friend, Mel, said, oh no, too many close workings with numbers. Now, of course, you know, when my dad wanted me to do this, nobody was using computers, using pencils and ledgers and all sorts of stuff like that. And, you know, Mel advised, you know, too much, you know, too difficult for somebody, you know, who has trouble seeing to to do. And I just don't like to do it. I really don't. So I'm glad I didn't go into that field. And maybe I would like it more if I, you know, if I did it all the time. But, you know, happy with happy that I'm not doing that as a full time job. So, it, you know, like I said, with Believe You Can, it came out really well. Stacy and Lisa did a great job hosting, going back and forth. And, you know, there were some things that, you know, Stacy had going on in the background that, you know, she pulled it together though. And I don't know how, because, you know, she had some not Believe You Can related stuff happening and she was still able to really pull it out. So, they did great. And, it went over well, and you know, we got some good feedback on it, and you know, and any kind of feedback is good because then we can make changes for next year. So you know, it's all good. You know, we didn't get any hate mail, at least yet we didn't. I guess there's still time. So so that's Believe You Can, and there's a couple of podcasts out there besides, which is when I started talking about all this, besides the one that was here, episode 147, icantseeyou.com/147 for the show notes. We also were on Blind Abilities podcast. Simon interviewed us, the hosts, and Harriet as the president. And that always helps boost sales. And it's always funny how when we see sales come in from all around the country, it's just amazing to me. And Jan was part of that. Jan was pushing it to her friends and family who live in Colorado and Indiana. We had people from Florida and Massachusetts. And one of the person, Deborah, who was from Virginia, she had some folks in her area buy some tickets. You know, so it was very cool. And you know, of the performers, I think only there were four from the Keystone chapter, and there was one more. Angelina is also from Pennsylvania, but she's from the other end of the state in Pittsburgh. Everybody else was from another state, Virginia, Georgia, Massachusetts, Washington, and I know I'm missing some, Tennessee, Kansas, Utah. I think that's it. Then we did have one of a Keystone chapter member who was supposed to perform, but did not, because she was sick. She couldn't go. So, and it's a shame because she has a nice voice too. So, her name was Esther, or is Esther. So hopefully she's doing better now, but she was pretty sick, so she couldn't do it. So moving on, I wanted to talk about health related, but it's not eye related. Well, at least mostly not eye related. As I mentioned a million times before, I have psoriatic arthritis and I take medicine for that. And I take a medicine called Otezla, which if you watch TV at all, I'm sure you've seen an ad for it. And I started with this a long time ago. I want to say 2012, 2014, somewhere. It wasn't long after it came out. And I was leery then of taking it because, you know, just like everybody's a little leery with the vaccines for the COVID, you don't know how you're going to react. You don't, there's not a lot of data now with the Otezla. I'm sure there was more testing than with the COVID vaccines. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Everybody in my family has had them. Jane and I, Moderna, Jacob, Pfizer, and Liz, J&J. But I was leery about it. But once I started taking the Otezla on a regular basis, it seemed to be doing well. And as I've mentioned, over the last year or so, off and on, it hasn't been doing as well as it did at the beginning for me. The last time I had gone to the rheumatologist, he said, you know, we're going to try something else. So don't make another appointment. We're going to look into your insurance and we're going to put you on something else. And I don't remember what that was called. It was an injectable that I want to say you took it every quarter, like, you know, basically once a quarter. And it was, you know, I don't remember if I had to take it, if they actually gave it to me in the office or if it's something I could do at home. I had done an injectable before along with the Otezla. I had used Humira, which I did on my own with Liz's help because there's things that you have to see to, you know, you have to make sure it's not cloudy. You have to make sure, you know, the seals aren't, you know, funny when you're opening it. I actually did the, it's kind of like pushing a detonator button when you take it because it's spring loaded. So you hit this button and it, you know, the needle shoots into your, I gave it, you know, it, I did it in my thighs. And bing, bang, boom, it was done. It was very easy. It didn't hurt. Although I think I mentioned this before. I used to do it sitting on the couch and I did it this one time. I don't know if I hit a blood vessel or something, but, you know, I hit it and immediately started bleeding. And I'm watching the blood come up. And then all of a sudden, it's starting to roll down my legs. And Liz is looking at me like, why are you watching? I said, Liz, get the, you know, I want to, you know, take a video of this or take a picture. But it was coming out not super fast. It wasn't like that Julia Child Saturday Night Live sketch that John Belushi did back in the day where, you know, blood is like squirting out like a fire hose out of whatever she's cutting off. But it was coming out pretty quickly. So, you know, it started to run down my leg and I got the couch dirty. It's actually the couch that's behind me here in Studio B. I guess it's a love seat, not a couch. It was one that that I always loved. It was my parents' and it was in my dad's den at his apartment. And, you know, so when my mom moved out of the their independent living space, you know, I brought that home and it was in our condo. It was sitting in the living room. Here we have, there are other couches in our living room. So I brought it down to Studio B, which is nice. I like it. But I bled all over the one cushion and, you know, Liz yelled at me. And so I tried that and that one did okay. But when I was having the retina surgery, I stopped the Humira because of, you know, there's all sorts of risks and infection and whatnot. So I wanted to stop while I was recovering from the retina surgery back in 2017, December 20th of 2017. So when I had gone to the rheumatologist the last time, which was March 8th of this year, he said, don't make a new appointment. Let's figure out about getting you on this new medicine. Stay with the Otezla for now until you hear from us. And of course, I haven't heard from them. And it wasn't the first time with this rheumatologist that, you know, they said that they were going to do something and they contact me and then never happened. So obviously I'm looking for a new rheumatologist. If you're in the Philadelphia area and you have a good rheumatologist that you love, please let me know because I need one. While I'm asking, I also need a new general practitioner. So if you have a primary care doctor that you really like and they're in the Delaware County area that's easy to get to for me on my own without Liz because she works, you know, during the day, let me know. You know, I'd prefer somebody at Riddle or Crozier. There are two hospitals that are near me. One is in Chester, one is in Media. I need a new one. But back to the Otezla from this time. So the insurance that we use, that our family uses, is through Liz's work from her job as a teacher at Walden. And I don't remember if it was this year in January or late last year or sometime during the COVID time, I got a call from someone. They were changing the, I don't know if you would call it the copay, but it was going up, and they told me it was going up from 7-something to 1100-something. When I'm sorry, 700-something to 1100-something. But, you know, I was still getting a 30% discount, and I said, okay, well, that's great, and is that going to, you know, is that going to get covered? Well, that will get covered, the copay will get covered by, oh, Tesla has a support fund or whatever. And I don't know how much you get per year, per calendar year, but, you know, we're now at the end of the calendar year, and, you know, back when I got this call, I had said to Liz, this is what's going to happen, and exactly that's happening now. I'm out of money in that support call, the support fund, whatever you want to call it. Again, each month, it's the prescription is in the somewhere in the $4,000 range. I don't know, $4,500, $4,200, $4,800. I don't remember. It's a lot. It's a lot for these little pills, 60 little pills. I take them twice a day. So, you know, my prescription was just about gone. My bottle was almost empty. And I, again, with Believe You Can, I was forgetting to order the meds. So one night, actually, it might have been the night of the show, I remembered, I'm like, oh, you know, after the show, of course, not during. I said, let me order those. And I go to order. Website was down for maintenance. I try again another time, down for maintenance. Because I always go on it in the middle of the night. And that's when everybody usually does maintenance. Then I was finally able to order them. I guess it was Monday of this week. And again, I'm recording Thursday, the day the episode drops. And okay, everything's good and da-da-da-da-da. Day or two goes by, and then I get a text message saying they needed me to call because they had a problem with my prescription. And I'm thinking, okay, the doctor didn't, you know, get back to them with the refill or whatever. So I call. Now, at this point, I had forgotten about that conversation from back in early this year, late last year, sometime during the COVID time, about the change in the copay through my insurance. And they said, the guy, you know, when I called CVS Specialty Pharmacy, because I can't just go to the CVS and pick this up. It's something that has to get delivered to me, which is actually fairly convenient since, you know, it comes right to my door as opposed to having to go out and get it. He said, here's the story, you know, your copay is, you would owe, I don't remember the exact amount, I want to say about $250 for this month. And I said, okay, and what would I owe for next month? He said, you would owe $1,102. And I said, well, what about December? Same thing, $1,102. I cannot pay $1,102 for medicine. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. He told me what to do. And so I then called the Otezla support line. They told me that I was at, you know, my benefits were, you know, maxed out with the next, you know, with the next purchase, I would have, you know, used them all. And again, I don't know how much they give me in support. I want to say it's 9 or 10,000, you know, per year. But again, we're at the end of the year. And when my, you know, before the change, when the copay was only 7-something, that, you know, of course, that 9 or 10,000 covered it. But with the copay now being 1,100, it's not covered. You know, it doesn't cover the whole thing because, you know, you run out. So I'm now thinking, okay, what am I going to do? So he had recommended, the Otezla support folks had recommended going and calling my insurance company to see what they would do, see what other pharmacies I could use. So I called our insurance carrier, which is Independence Blue Cross. And again, it's through Liz's work. So they say all these things that, you know, are that I have no idea what they are. It's, you know, it's a group by the group of schools that, you know, are in this plan. And when I first called, I get a girl named Sue, not a guy named Sue, if you're familiar with that song. I get a girl named Sue and she's like, can I help you? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, I explained to her and she said, okay, what's your number? What's your, you know, ID number or whatever you call it, subscriber number. And I said, please bear with me. I said, I'm blind and I'm going to have to listen to it and then repeat it back to you. And then she hangs up. I don't know if it was hanging up because, you know, she hit the wrong button. I don't know if she was hanging up because she didn't want to deal with me, whatever. You know, so I was a little agitated. And the only thing that kept me fairly calm, I was outside with the dog, and yesterday was a beautiful day here in suburban Philadelphia, as today is. I was in shorts and a t-shirt, and I was outside with Ziggy. He was happy. And he would be happier later when when Jane came home for the first time in about a month or so, 6 weeks. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. So then I call back. And I'm like, okay, let's see. And I went over the number a couple of times. And again, and I should really record, do a screen record of reading the numbers to me. When you use VoiceOver and there is a long string of numbers, you know, for example, our subscriber numbers is three letters, then a bunch of numbers. And so it will read ABC 121,310,015,096. So while you're reading that back, you don't want to tell the person on the other, they're not going to know, you know, it's just crazy. So I went in and I put, when you use VoiceOver, if you put a comma between a number, it will say 1, 2, 1, blah, 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 and so forth down the line. So I had done that and I had gone through it enough times listening to it and trying to punch it in, you know, to do the commas, that it turns out I didn't need to listen to it and read it. By then I knew it because when I called back, you know, after Sue had hung up on me or we got disconnected, again, you know, I usually give the benefit of the doubt, but it really, to me, seemed like she hung up because she didn't want to deal with me because, you know, and I don't even think the Hernandez tone came out at this point. And it certainly never did for the next caller because she was the exact opposite of Sue. She was friendly and, oh, that's okay. Don't read me the number. Just give me all your information and I can look it up. And boom, it was done. Her name was Dominique. And again, it was like night and day. Friendly, and not that Sue wasn't not friendly, but you know, I mean, we did get disconnected or hung up on, I mean, whatever. But you know, so Dominique says, well, you know, you Caremark is the one that does your prescription for your plan. So I'm like, oh, that means it's going to be CVS. She said, oh, not necessarily. And of course it is. So I have no choice. I have to get all my meds through CVS if I want to use the insurance, especially the specialty meds, which it turns out most of the psoriatic arthritis meds are. You know, when I was on both the Humira and the Otezla, the one was, you know, like I said, in the $4,000 range, and the other was in the $6,000 range. Could you imagine $10,000 a month in medicine? Like, who can pay that? I certainly couldn't and wasn't going to. You know, the one thing I was worried, and I just got down to the point where, you know, when all this was going on, because this took over, you know, a few hours of time of going back and forth and talking with people and whatnot. I thought, well, you know what, I'll go a month without it and see what happens, see how bad it'll get. You know, because again, I ache every day, and some days, you know, one day last week, my pinky was, you know, I couldn't bend it. I couldn't bend it at all. My left pinky, it was, you know, as we like to say, it was the snake with the frog in it. Referring, Liz and I always refer to when we were at my parents' house, you know, probably in the 90s. I think we were married at that point. Liz saw something on the ground near where the hose was, and it was a snake. And then she went and looked at it later, and it had half a frog sticking out of its mouth. And then as time went on, you know, this frog ended up further and further into the snake. And that's what my pinky looks like. You know, if you go to the, you know, the main knuckle, the second knuckle in, that's what it looked like. It looked like the, you know, the frog was stuck in the snake. So, you know, so the Otezla isn't doing great, but, you know, I'm sure I'm better on it than off it. And I'm figuring, well, now I'm going to find out because I'm, you know, I can't pay this. I'm not going to spend all that money, you know, on these meds. I'm not. And so, you know, when I was talking, the IBX girl, you know, we contacted Caremark. And she said, well, there's no other way. You have to get them from CVS. And I said, is that why the price went up, you know, from seven something to $1,102? And I said, because there's no competition. You know, and if there's no competition, you could charge me whatever. And she says, well, I don't know. I said, just sounds a little funny there, but whatever. Okay, you know, is there anything else I could do? What could I do to, you know, try and get these meds? And, you know, she gave me some places to go to, one of them being panfoundation.org, which she said I would start with that one. So again, I was upstairs and in the living room with Ziggy, and I thought, okay, let me go. Let me try and do it on my phone. Usually with stuff like this, I usually wait till I get on my computer, but I figured let me try it on my phone. So I go to panfoundation.org and I type in, first I type in Otezla and nothing comes up. And then I type in psoriatic arthritis and something is there. So I click on it, well, tap on it. Sorry, you would tap on it if you don't use VoiceOver. I would double tap on it because like in Zombieland, you always have to double tap. Here's the spot. If I would play movie clips, I would put a clip in of that. So I, you know, double tapped it and I, you know, I could see some other page came up. I then could not use that page. It would not let me do anything on that page. I was just hearing the clunk, 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 clunk. If you use VoiceOver, you know what I'm talking about, but it was completely inaccessible. That page that it took me to, completely inaccessible. Couldn't do it. So I got a little mad and I thought, okay, I'll wait and I'll go on the computer. In the meantime, I thought, you know what? For this month, at least I'll pay the $200 and whatever dollars it is for the meds and I'll get them. And, you know, basically like Congress does, I'm kicking the can down the road. So I called back CVS Specialty. I said, yeah, I want to finalize the order for my Otezla. And I get a girl named Paris. She was not part of Money Heist because if you remember, Tokyo was the main girl, if you're familiar with that. And I love that show, by the way, Money Heist, it's on Netflix. So she's like, oh, I see you started an order. I said, yeah, I just wanted to finish that. I just want to get it shipped out. I'm out of medicine. I need it. Can we finish it? She's like, yeah. And she said, oh, there's a lot here. Let me put you on hold. I'll look at everything and then I'll come back to you. So she puts me on hold for a minute or two. And again, I don't really care because I'm outside with the dog and it's nice out. We spent a lot of time outside yesterday. He was eating grass, which Liz doesn't like. And I was walking around trying to get some steps in, which I was just under 10,000 yesterday. So that was pretty good. So she comes back on. She's like, okay, got everything done. I said, oh, okay. She said, when do you need it? I said, well, again, I'm out. You know, I'm done. And she said, okay, so you need it by tomorrow. I said, if you could, that'd be great. If you can't, you know, if you could have it to me by Friday, that'd be great too. And she said, no, I think I can get it out in time to get out today. And she goes through everything. And there's always these required questions that she asks, any changes, any new meds, any other side effects, any questions for the pharmacist. And they're always no. She said, okay, we're good to go. She never asked for a credit card. She never asks for anything. And I thought, well, you know, I hope they actually do ship because, you know, now I'm a little concerned that I'm not going to get them. But then, you know, I don't know, an hour or two go by and I get a text message with, you know, your order has shipped. Here's the UPS tracking, you know, was next day air saver or something. And it's a joke because they ship from North Jersey and you're not going to put something on an airplane from North Jersey to southeastern Pennsylvania. It just doesn't happen. They just, you know, I don't even think they need to happen. So I haven't gotten it yet today. I'm recording this, early afternoon, and it hasn't come yet. Although I have to tell you, when I first came down here to record, I was sitting here and I was starting to do the intro, and the dog barked. And as I've mentioned before, he doesn't bark very often. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's going on upstairs. Now, sometimes he barks when he's startled. So if he's sleeping and he hears like a loud noise, like if we get a package delivery, for example, that will startle him and he'll bark. That's one of the things he barks at. And so, you know, when I heard that, you know, I thought, you know, I hit pause on what I was doing, and I had to record it again, not because of Ziggy, but because, you know, it threw my train of thought off. So I went upstairs and I said to him, I said, didn't you see the red recording light on? And Jane laughed. And she said, we got a delivery. I said, yeah, I hope it's my meds. And it wasn't, it was from Amazon. I'll tell a funny story about that in a second too. So, you know, so I don't know what's going to come in the box. I don't know if there's going to be a bill for 200 and some odd dollars, because I didn't give a credit card and they don't have my credit card information. So I don't know what I'm going to end up paying for this. And I was hesitant. I'd be hesitant to give my credit card information because next month when that time comes, if there's still this issue, I don't want to pay $1,102 for this medicine. I'll do without. And so I do need to find a rheumatologist in a hurry so I can either get on a new med that, you know, maybe is completely covered or or whatever. But, you know, I'm looking forward to, at least for now, staying on the med because, you know, one thing I think it's done is helped with the psoriasis, you know, the skin flares and stuff like that. Because, you know, for the pain, I can, you know, use, you know, Tylenol and Advil to, you know, it takes a little bit off, you know, it's still, I'm, you know, every day it just, you know, I always ache and hurt. Some days the hurt is more, some days it is just an ache. But I'm interested to see. So before I get to the next thing, I do want to talk about, it's kind of funny. A couple days ago, we got a Le Creuset pot. It's like a ceramic pot you would make like jambalaya in or soup or whatever, stew. And we don't know where it came from. It came from Amazon and it was addressed to Liz. And, you know, so Liz texted her sisters to see if they sent something. They didn't. And then when she said the color, something sparked in my mind. The color of this pot was Marseille blue. And that stuck in my mind. So I'm trying to find where that might have come from. I apologize for that interruption. You know, I'll get back to the Le Creuset in a sec. I have a cordless phone down here with our landline because we were testing our business line. And when we had some electric work done, they were putting, they ran some lines for us so I could do my, you know, call on a landline if I were calling, you know, for business, whether it was for NFB stuff where I could use, you know, because I like to use a headset so I can have both hands free so I could type if I'm taking information or whatnot. So, you know, even though I told the electricians you had to run the wires from where the Verizon Fios came into the house upstairs in our living room, they saw a box at our back door and thought, that's where we have to run the lines from. And I said, you know, I don't think that's right, but if you think that's right, he's like, oh yeah, this would be better. Well, it wasn't, of course, they were wrong. And so, you know, now I have this cordless phone sitting on my desk that is to our house number, which again, I don't know why we still have a house number. We've had it since 1993 and, you know, nobody calls it except for CVS and telemarketers and people doing polls. So that was on that line and I do apologize about that. So back to the Le Creuset. So we have this, Liz already has one Le Creuset, which she uses for, you know, if she's going to fry something, it's a big thing. So she, you know, she does the oil in there and, you know, and she does, you know, she makes these fried shrimp, which are awesome. And since Jane is home, she's making them this weekend. So I don't remember, you know, and she and I talked about it. Neither of us really remember the conversation. But when she said, like I said, the Marseille blue, I've searched my emails. I've searched as well as I can text messages between us. But I can't remember where they were. Well, that delivery today was another Le Creuset thing. So if you've sent us a Le Creuset pot or a couple of pots, please reach out because we don't remember where they're from. I've checked the credit card. There's no charges for them. I don't know what the story is. So thank you if you have, but please let me know. So, and if I do find out, I'll update it at a later time of where they're from. But it's just kind of funny. And speaking of funny, we have a Costco Anywhere Visa. And it's done by Citi. And get an email yesterday from them. Now, it's not as bad as some of the other emails I get, like from American Express, which is just infuriating. It says, you know, I open it on my phone because it seems like I check my email always on my phone. And if I have to respond, if it's something important, I will respond on my computer where I can actually type it. Typing for me still is very difficult, but it's better than dictating because who knows what you're going to get when you dictate. I've said it a million times. I've named my phone Emily Litella because, you know, if you remember the old Saturday Night Live sketches with her, you know, she always mishears things. That's my phone. And I'm sure anybody's phone when you do dictation. But this email said, you know, again, it was from Costco and Citi about child hunger, you know, which is important, you know, to try and not have. You know, I'm not talking about Jimmy down the street who weighs 300 pounds when he should weigh 150. And, you know, he's just hungry because he eats all the time. I'm talking about kids that, you know, don't get enough food. So it says, you know, the first headline. And then I go and there I can see that there's an image there. And it's an image that has text. And so I thought, I wonder if it's going to tell me what this is. Is it a link? Is it, you know, what's it say? And it says, descriptive TXT here. And I started laughing. I'm like, are you kidding? They went that far to have that. Somebody knew that you put something there. And I knew that there was, like I said, I knew there were words there. And, you know, they probably weren't crazy important, but you know, if you want me to donate, I got to know. The rest of the email though was accessible and I could just, you know, continue reading on down, but it made me laugh when it said descriptive TXT here. And I thought that is hysterical. Now, I've had, besides having a ton of trouble with my throat today, I've had trouble before with emails. And usually the emails are for advertising purposes. When there are emails that are important, they are almost fully accessible. American Express, for example, when they have billing information or, you know, your bill is due and you got to submit it by this day and what your balance is, that's all very accessible. When you can sign up to get extra points when you shop at this store or that store, not at all accessible. Not at all. In fact, I have to send it to Liz and say in my, you know, in the forwarded message to her, say, do we want any of these deals? Do we need any? Is there anything good here? Which is so frustrating. You know, and Amex, it's terrible. Hilton Hotels, terrible. They're the only ones I could think of right off the top that I'd be interested in. You know, it's just brutal. It is just brutal. So I realized yesterday when I was listening to this, one of the things that I've done over the last few weeks, you know, with the Believe You Can stuff, is I've realized that we need to have, besides sell tickets, we need to have sponsors, corporate sponsors. So in that vein, as I'm reading this email, descriptive TXT here, I thought, you know, I'm going to email someone at Citi and Costco and say, look, you know, got your email. And Costco's emails are somewhat inaccessible. They've gotten better, though, over the last year or so. Food Service Direct has also gotten a little better. Still not 100%, but better than it was. I was going to email them and say, you know, look, you know, I got this email from you and here's what it says. And, you know, to someone who is blind or visually impaired that uses a screen reader, here's what they hear. and, you know, so forth and so on. And then in the last paragraph, ask for a donation for the Keystone chapter of the NFBFPA. I can put a link in there, which I set up, and it's one thing that, you know, there's no easy way. When you go, if you were to go to nfbp.org, it is so horribly laid out. There is a nav that is a mile long, and there must be 15 to 20 buttons up at the top. And some of those buttons have drop-downs in them. It is just brutal. The nav is horrible. You know, when you say the important space on a website is above the quote-unquote fold, so, you know, in website verse, not in newspaper verse, which is where that comes from, that is basically without having to scroll. So above the fold is you don't have to scroll. Well, at nfbp.org, the only thing you see is the name of the site and this navigation, this god-awful, gigantic navigation. It is horrible. So, and the next problem with the site is to get to the donate page. You know, Keystone Chapter has a page on the NFB site, and it's nfbp.org/Keystone Chapter. All one word. Simple enough. When we do promotions and sell stuff and memberships, everything is there. In fact, I think the t-shirt button is still live there because I don't control that. I, you know, we have to tell somebody to remove it and add it, and don't get me started with that because that's not the easiest, and it takes a while. So there's a donate link on that page, but that link doesn't, you can't just click that link to donate. That takes you to another page to donate, which again, every time you make someone click a link, touch a button, do something, there's less likely a chance for someone to go and actually do it. So when we were doing this event, I thought a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was even the beginning of last week before the event, I thought, you know, I should have a domain that's easy for people to remember so they go right to that page to donate money, because we can mention it during the show. If people are impressed, they want to donate some more money, they can just go to supportkeystonechapter.org, and it goes right to that page where there's a box that you can, and again, you got to scroll past the mile long. I mean, it's the CVS receipt of navigation, the nfbp.org. Go have a look. It is brutal. It is absolutely brutal. Now, supposedly they're redoing the site, but, you know, we'll see what happens with that nav. It is just awful. So if you go to supportkeystonechapter.org, it takes you right to the page. You scroll past that god-awful nav, and you get right into the meat of the page where there's a box where you can make a donation of $1.87, you know, $3,211.28, whatever amount you want. You can put it in there. And it would be appreciated if you did that. But I thought, you know, if I do this letter, an actual letter, not an email, maybe an email and a letter, but certainly a physical letter going to these companies saying, hey, here's the story with your email. Hey, Costco, here's the story. You know, maybe the chapter gets a couple of bucks. And also, maybe they fix their freaking emails where it's accessible and, you know, I can use it and other blind folks can use it, because it's brutal not being able to, and it's very frustrating. And, you know, I don't know, you know, folks that don't have a spouse that, you know, with vision that could see, I would just stop reading it. I wouldn't even open it because it's just, you know, it's useless to me. So, you know, just brutal. So please, if you're doing emails for a business or a company, please make them pretty accessible. And if you're doing apps, same thing, because nothing more frustrating than not being able to use something that you really want to use. That's what makes the Yahoo Fantasy app so awesome, because it's almost 100% accessible. There's always going to be something that, you know, guy forgets to code or whatever, but that app is great for fantasy, and it's even better when you're at the top of the table. So that is all I have for episode 150. I really do appreciate you listening to this episode of the I Can't See You podcast. Please reach out if you have any questions or comments, 646-926-6350. Leave a voicemail. You have up to 3 minutes. We did get a voicemail for an episode last week. It was a White Canes Connect episode. And I'm going to play that on an upcoming episode of White Canes Connect because it was nice. It wasn't very long, but it was great to hear from this person who thought Lisa did a good job with the interview with Denise and Katrina. So very cool to get that. And again, you have questions, you can ask them there too, comments, anything. Call that number, 646-926-6350. Let me know. Please leave your name, your town, and that it's okay to use it in an upcoming episode of the I Can't See You podcast. I would appreciate that. You could also reach out via email, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Show notes will be available over at icantseeyou.com/150. Remember, I Can't See You sounds like a whole sentence. It's only 7 letters long. icantcu.com/150. And, if you haven't yet reviewed or rated the show, please do so. We have a handful there, and I have a couple of good reviews. And then there's somebody that gave me 1 star, which I talked about over the summer. So if you leave me 1 star, please tell me why, so I know what some people don't like. I mean, it was just a 1 star and nothing. So please reach out and do that if you could. And pass it along to your friends if you think they'd get some entertainment out of it or some knowledge about blind folks, because that's the name of the game here, is trying to let you know what blind folks and how they deal with stuff. So again, thank you for listening to episode 150 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. Please reach out there too if you'd like. Again, I do appreciate you listening. I hope you're well. Please continue to stay safe, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.